But all week, I've been waiting for today. All week. I couldn't take my mind off of it. I've just been meditating and meditating and meditating and meditating. And I was like, God, you know, I was like, Deborah, what's up with this? Okay. And he said, it's time. You know, and you think it's time for God's children to first of all know that they are God's children. And more importantly, start thinking like they're God's children. And then we will have everything God's children are supposed to have. Everything. See, what we have done, in effect, if we have allowed circumstances to create a false reality. And God saying, yes, we should have a reality, but it should not be based on what the world hands us.
Amen.
Or I should say mushes. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
You know when you mush someone? Okay. Our reality really should be based on what God has said, what God has done, and what God has promised. Period. So we're going to talk about this morning, you need a title, The Reality of the Renewed Mind. Some of you that were here on Friday heard the HGR. Those of you that don't know, HGR just means Holy Ghost Revelation. And that's when you're sitting down minding your own business and God just drops something in on you. You know, like they used to say in the, I don't know, I guess the 70s, he just drops some knowledge on you. Okay. Didn't have to smoke anything to get it. But he said to me on Friday, he said, stress is not the result of circumstances. See, how many of you thought circumstances came and it brought stress? No. Stress is the result of you thinking about the circumstances. And the problem with that is you're thinking incorrectly. You're thinking incorrectly, and you're going to see that before it's over. I mean, when we were at the picnic, just give you an illustration on how quickly your mind will revert to get you to do something you have no business doing. Right. And I watched in Brother Ken McFarland and Deacon Blair, Omar, and Isaiah. They were throwing football around. I'm watching them. I'm like, that's not the way you do it. You know, no, but they were making do with the area. So I said, no, let's go down to the open field. And so we went down to open field, and I was designated quarterback, and Brother Ken he stayed on defense, and everyone else would, you know, they would just switch positions. But, you know, because it was just the four of us, I could just stand there and take my time. Somebody got open, throw him the pass, touchdown, you know. Well, then little Ariana came, and Ken said, well, you know, told the head Ariana, you just blitz the quarterback. Just count to five and run up there. I didn't know he told her that. And I'm standing there waiting. I was waiting for Omar to get open. And then here comes Ariana running, but she couldn't wait till five. She just ran into me. So when I found out, I said, uh-huh. See, those of you that know me know I adjust to things very quickly. And so I called, you know, Isaiah and Omar together. And by the way, Isaiah plays football.
Amen.
He'll catch the football and take off. Okay. But I said to them, I said, we're going to make believe we're going to do the same play. Only when Ariana comes toward me, I'm going to run past her. play worked. It worked to perfection. They gave me the ball. Ariana came running. I took off running. I still know how to dip one way and go the other. I just don't do it at lightning speed anymore. Okay. I do it like a ship turning in the ocean. Okay. But I did that, and I started running, and where the volleyball court was the goal line, and now here I am, 62 years old, and I'm thinking, touchdown, baby. But I look and I see Ken coming over to cut me off. And in an instant, my mind said, turn on the Jets. Then the Holy Ghost said, fool, your Jets were turned off 28 years ago. So I stopped. Okay. And didn't hurt anything. But just that, I know it's humorous, but just that quickly, a thought will come in, and if you don't understand where it came from or what it's designed to do, it will change your destiny. See, because me turning, making a cut and turning on the Jets, my knees would still be up in Pennsylvania. Why? My body doesn't do that anymore. It used to do it very well 28 years ago. This is 28 years later. I have to realize who I am and what's available to me. But let's go to John. We always start at John 3. And we're going to read John 3, 16 and 17. And then we're going to go to John 13. You could read John 3:16 along with me. I believe I'm in the King James. Okay. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in John 13, Jesus said, so I give you a new command. This is out of the Voice translation. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember, this is key, folks. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Okay? Now, I want you to go to Romans 12. This is really a foundation scripture, both for the series and for life in Christ. And one of the things that I realized in that scripture, because, see, Pastor Clinton taught us, you want to know who God was talking to, you know, what was going on, so that, you know, you'll get the accurate meaning. And or you'll get the right flavor of the scripture, and it'll help you to rightly divide the word. But Paul was in Rome, naturally, that's why it's called Romans, and he was talking to Gentile believers. They were new believers. And he just wanted to just let them know how they got to be partakers of this grace, and most importantly, what's expected now that you are. Okay. Now, starting in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, Paul was telling them, as a believer, now, Romans, there's some choices that you're going to have to make. And you want to make the right choices so you can prove and that you can be an example of everything that God is about. That's what he's telling. But there's some things that we had to do. The Message Bible kind of laser scopes it in. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. See, when we began this series several weeks ago, we learned that God was saying, put your body under my control. Period. Okay? And that's what Paul is telling us. That we're supposed to put our bodies under God's control. But here we go. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I want to focus a minute on that. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. See, when we allow ourselves to become molded to this world and this world's way of thinking, our reality will change. We'll start to believe that we are of this world. And Jesus was very specific. He said, yeah, you're in this world, but you are not of this world. And if we're not of this world, then guess what? We shouldn't be molded into the same shape and fashion as this world. When you look at me, you shouldn't see anything concerning this world. As a matter of truth, you should notice that there's something different about me. You may not be able to put your hand on it, your finger on it, but you'll know there's something about this person that's just different. If we participate in this world, in the plans of the world, God says we'll wind up adopting the language of this world. And he doesn't want that to happen. So it's apparent to him that once we receive Jesus Christ, there's an expectation that we change. And the first thing about us that needs to change is the way we think. Is the way we think. God has instructed me to read this book. And the book is called The Transformed Life. And in it, it says, becoming a Christian ignites the process of transformation. Your relationship with God, eternal destination, which is now heaven, and true self become new. Yet even with all these wonderful changes, we are left in the world, remain in a body, and we're stuck with a mind that's pretty much the same. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, your mind doesn't change immediately. It goes on to say, personal transformation requires radical change, not gradual change. Radical change. It has been said that the only things you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address. How many of you have done that? We have. You can change your job. Done that? How many of you change your wardrobe? Okay. We can change our friends. You can even change your name. See, I went from Greg to Foots. Okay. I changed my name. But your life will not transform until you change the way you think. And the key person in that whole equation is you. God can't change the way you think. You have to change the way that you think. Look at Proverbs 24. Because I want you to see that it's not just my opinion. want to do is just see just how important your thought life is. And I believe it's verse 7. That's the one that says, "A man thinketh in his heart." All right, let's read that. Read it out loud. Verse 7, Proverbs 24. Is that it? 3? 20, okay. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the verse. Proverbs 23, verse 7. That's what happened when they have big fingers on an iPad. Okay, let's read it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, Hebrews tells us that we must first believe that God is, right? You can't come to God unless you first believe that he is. Matthew 16 tells us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Christ said he established us, his church, on the revelation that he is the Christ. And he said, all the power of hell can't stop the church. Now, that won't be true in your life unless you believe it. Amen. If you don't believe it, the power of hell will want run roughshod over your life. Not because God's word isn't true, not because it's not powerful, but because you don't think it is. And you think your circumstance is much bigger than what God has said. Not so. But there is a very fundamental scripture that we need to understand about this new life. Very fundamental, very basic. You know, we probably have it memorized. 2 Corinthians 5, what verse? 17. What does it say? If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A what? Old things have passed away. Some things. Oh, it doesn't say some things? Oh. All things. What does all mean? So everything. Anything you can possibly think of concerning you has become new. New. God's Words translation says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. I like the Phillips translation because it says, if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. That covers it. That means every aspect of you has become new. Says the past is finished and gone. Yet we fret about things that we used to do or what someone did to us. That was in the past. God said, it's finished. It's gone. Why are you allowing yourself to be continually victimized by it? When that person that was wronged is dead. That person that was wronged is now a new creature in Christ. And nothing was done to that new creature. But if you are not thinking that way, you'll stay in bondage to what happened to you in the past. And God is saying, enough already. Now, I hear people, even believers, I'm going to read this to you, because when it came to me early this morning, I remember hearing believers talking to another believer about something they were believing God to provide. And the believer they were talking to said, you need to get real and face reality. And I'm like, what kind of thing is that for a believer to say? Why are you accepting what is? Why are you accepting what you see? I thought we call those things that be not as though they were. But here's a believer telling another believer, in essence, you know, get your head out of the sand and face reality. It's like, God isn't doing that for you. So I decided to look up the word reality. The state or quality of being real. It can also mean resemblance to what is real. So you can have a reality based on something that's not real. But it's real to you because of the way you think about it. You think about it. I was telling my wife once about what I did with my sons when they were concerned about monsters in the closet. And I'm telling them, you know, they want buying. There are no monsters coming in this house. And so finally I said, okay, I need to do this a little differently. And I'm not saved at this time. All right. But I went to the closet and I came out and I said, whoa, there are a lot of monsters in there. I said, but this is my house. I'm going to let you see how daddy handles intruders. And I went in the closet. I started banging on the walls. I started saying, I said, get out of here and don't come back. I changed my voice and said, no, don't hurt me. I said, too late. You shouldn't have come in here. You know. And I'm like, please, please. No, don't beg now. Don't you ever come in here again. I'll break your neck. Get out of here. And I came out of the room. I had my shirt on. I unbuttoned my shirt, and I came out of the closet. I'm like, okay, it's fine now. They're like, thank you, Daddy. That was real to them. It was real. And so I had to jump into their reality to bring them out. God sent Jesus from heaven into our reality to bring us out. He came in to show us just how we could live as a believer so that we could come out from among them and be separate and stop touching unclean things. Our son starts sleeping like babies. Not concerned. If friends come over to my, daddy kicked their butts. They're not coming in here. Okay. Well, that's the way we should feel about our Father. When stuff comes, he's already demonstrated. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Just pew, gone. So we know he is a defeated foe. Yet we keep giving him CPR and then allowing him to rule and reign over us and have him say things to us that we know are contrary to what God says. The World English Dictionary says reality is the state of things as they are or appear to be. See, again, your reality that you chose or you're choosing may not be real. But it's real in your thinking. So if you change your thinking, that's why the word says renewing of your mind. And it didn't say renew. There's ing on the end. Ing means it's a continual action. It's a continual process. There's no way I can just renew my mind once and forever. No, every single moment of every single day, I have to be renewing my mind by remembering everything that God has said, everything he's done, everything he's promised. and just letting that roll around in my head. So when things come up, I don't get moved. See, once you have a renewed mind, the reality is not that an examination revealed you have a lump on your left breast, and the doctor said he thinks it may be malignant. No, you have been renewing, you've been renewing your mind. So your reality is, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed. See, it's that simple. If you don't have a renewed mind, panic will set in. And you will start remembering and reading about the power of the invader. And you will have a false reality. I got to cut this breast off or I'm going to die. Why? Based on statistics, based on recommendations, based on whatever. But we don't consider I have a renewed mind. What has God said about this? Because that's what I need to focus on. What God said about it. See, the reality isn't that you don't have the money to pay your mortgage and your house is in foreclosure. No, you've renewed your mind. Your reality is my God shall supply my every need. Therefore, I see my mortgage paid. As a matter of fact, I see my house paid for in full. Because my father said he wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health. That's going to become my reality. That will become your reality if you have renewed your mind. Because you have now changed how you are thinking about things. See, stuff that happens to you is never important. It never is. The only thing that's important is how you feel about it. That principle is what motivated me to receive Jesus Christ. Pastor Clinton said during the message, a submitted vessel. I've told you this before. So one right you have that nobody can take away from you is the right to form your own attitude about anything. That somebody can hit you in the head with a baseball bat. You don't have to get mad about it if you don't want to. And I'm like, really? You mean I didn't have to stomp a mud hole in them? Because that was my reality. You did something to me, you paid for it. I wasn't a freebie. As a matter of fact, you overpaid. Okay. What's it called? Price gouging? I would gouge the price out of you. Okay. But then I found out that, wait, you mean I decide whether or not this thing is going to bother me? I got to hear some more of this. In that instant, I got free. I felt the weights just flying off of me because I realized I didn't have to do anything. I could choose to let it go. I never knew that before. I'd lived 34 years. And finally, I learned I can just let things go. But if you don't constantly renew your mind, you won't let things go. You'll hold on to every single thing. See, I thought about something last night that made me start laughing because I was thinking about, you know, once you make a choice to do something or become something, you want to think about everything that applies to that, not how you were. And so I started remembering how I was, and then I met Deacon Phyllis. And then I decided I'm going to marry Deacon Phyllis. I became a different person altogether. Other females no longer interested me. Didn't care what they did, advertised. It just didn't matter anymore. And the reason I started laughing is, you know me, I you know, all of a sudden these old songs and things come up from my youth. And I you know, I remember choruses, but I said, let me look up those lyrics. See, there's this doo-wop group called the Flamingos. And they wrote a song, I Only Have Eyes for You. Okay? It says, my love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Then it goes, doo-wop, doo-wop. Says, are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, but I only have eyes for you, dear. See, I changed. Okay. I changed. Why did I change? Because I wanted this woman. Not any other woman. I wanted this woman. And I had my mind made up. And if it means I had to adopt some different things, my attitude was, so what? I never thought about what I was missing. I thought about what I was gaining. See, that's why nobody else out there mattered. That's why the enemy couldn't say things. Now, he didn't stop. He didn't stop saying things to me. What do you mean? You go, one? You can have 10. I only have eyes for her. I mean, I'm telling you. And then after a while, he leaves you alone. And then he'll come every now and then, he'll come and try something. But my mind is fixed. See, here's what happened. Okay? Where is it in my notes? Because there's some things I remember and some things I said I'm writing down because I want to say it exactly the way God gave it to me. Here's what happened to me. Because I asked God, I said, God, what really happened? And he said, write this down. So I said, okay. He said, first thing that happened to me, when I saw Deacon Phyllis, my heart changed. Changed. After my heart changed, my thinking changed. When my thinking changed, I adopted a new reality. I conformed to a new way of living, and I thought about it all the time. How many of you remember the television program All in the Family? Remember the episode when Edith went through the change of life? And Archie got upset. She said, I'm going to the change. He said, well, then change back. Okay. Well, that's what the enemy comes to do. He tries to get you to change back. But see, but I had a song. I only have eyes for you. That's it. And as long as I kept my mind on that, guess what? Nothing else mattered. Nothing could sway me. What does that have to do with where we are? Well, when we receive Jesus Christ, first of all, first thing that happens is our heart changes. Changes. And if our heart changed, our thinking should have changed. If our thinking changed, we should have adopted a new reality and conformed to a new way of living, and we should think about it all the time. And when the enemy comes to get you to revert, when circumstances with negative potential come sashaying up in front of you, you have a new song. I got my mind made up and I won't turn back. And then you get funky with the chorus. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. Why? I made up my mind to go God's way. How long? The rest of my life. That becomes your reality. And no matter what happens, you don't measure it against the circumstance. You measure it against what God has said, what God has done, what God has promised. And every time you do that, circumstances seem pale when they're compared to God. See, let me give you this very, very simple example. Because we have to understand really what it means when we're saying the old one is the old has passed away, we become new creatures. How many of you take good care of your body? Right? I heard try to. Okay. All right. That's honest.
Yes.
You get up in the morning, make sure your body's nice and clean. Right? You groom your body. You may do some things to accentuate certain parts. Okay. You want your body to smell good. Why? Well, the reality of it is there's a certain look that the world says is acceptable. And no matter how we may deceive ourselves, we're basing our style of dress on something we've seen in the world. You say, oh no, I dress in ways that make me feel good. I'm 62. I have never had an independent thought concerning how I should look or what I should do. Everything was based on something I saw somewhere and said, I like that. See, in my youth, my reality said, you're black. I'm like, yeah, yeah. You need to have an afro. So, I grew an afro. Bought Afro Sheen. Had Afro Pick. Okay. Why? Because everybody was wearing afros. Then, the world and some of my friends said, you'd really look good in Jerry curls. And I find myself sitting in a beauty parlor, under a hair dryer, curlers in my hair, but I had my Jerry curls. Probably I don't have any hair now. Those chemicals that my dad, they did me in. But I didn't think of these things independently. I was influenced by worldly traditions. Why? There was something I really didn't understand, and it's something that as believers, we still don't really understand. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19, 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't get up in the morning and wash your body. You get up in the morning and you wash God's body. You dress God's body. You feed God's body. Saying, well, what's the big deal about that, Pastor? There are too many things going on in these bodies is because we've been acting like they were our bodies and we did whatever we wanted with them. And we prove over and over and over and over and over and over, we don't know what's best for these bodies. We didn't design them. We didn't create them. We're not the ones that's supposed to keep them going. God is. And we need to find out from God what He wants done with these bodies. That's the reality, folks, of a renewed mind. We go on like, hey, it's my body. I can cry if I want to. No, it's not oldies week. These things just come out. Actually, it said it's my party, but body fit better. Right. As a matter of fact, someone actually wrote a book. It's my body. I can cry if I want to. It's not your body. I mean, you can still cry if you want to, but it's not your body. It's God's body, and we need to ask Him. See, we've given in. We've been seduced by our flesh. And so we put in our body whatever our flesh craves. And as a result, we start buying larger clothes because our body starts expanding. We don't realize that there's some foods and things that we eat, and this isn't a lesson on nutrition. This is about talking about having a renewed mind, because a renewed mind will tell you there's some things that belong in the body and the other things that don't. Even though they may taste, everything that tastes good isn't good for you. What's the Bible say? Even stolen fruit are sweet? Because it doesn't change its nature. It's still stolen. We need to understand that since this is God's body, I should check in with God as to where He wants His body seen. Maybe God doesn't want this body in a movie. I don't know. Why? Because God is going to use us to draw people in. So He's concerned about what people see when they see His children. So He may not want His children seen in a bar. Why? Because people won't know you went in there because they have good hamburgers. It's fine. God, am I supposed to be here? I went somewhere once recently, all the great intentions. I was going to see, you know, one of our brothers in Christ. And I walked in this place, and the vibe was icky. Right. One of the words from our grandchildren was yucky. And there was a person in there that was doing some weird stuff. And I walk up, get on the elevator, and I'm like, if this person gets in the elevator, I'm getting out. Okay? And I get up on, and I go to ring the bell, and I hear clearly, leave this place. I turned around, got back in the elevator, and left that place. Why? I don't know. All I know is God said get out, so I got out. See, some of us have gotten in trouble because we've gone out on dates and things that God didn't authorize. God said, no, I don't want this body seen with this person. But he dresses nice. Yeah, but look at her eyes. I mean, if I were God, I'd say, fine, and take her eyes out and go with them, but you don't go anyplace. And everybody said, I'm glad Pastor Greg is not God. But how many of us can honestly say that we always check with God before we allow these bodies to do anything. Don't feel any shame in it, but that's what we're all guilty of. That we have to get a better understanding of these bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That God bought these bodies with a price. And we're supposed to glorify him in these bodies. The Phillips translation says, "Have you forgotten that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and that you are not the owner of your own body?" You've been bought, and at what a price. Therefore, bring glory to God both in your body and your spirit, because they are God's. Okay, I'm moving on for time's sake. How many of you remember the account of Jesus when he got into the boat, preached to the people? Then he said to Simon, launch out into the deep for a draw, meaning for a catch. Did Simon say, "Sure, let's go"? No. So he didn't have a renewed mind then, folks. And so his reality was based on his knowledge being a fisherman. And if you were a good fisherman, you knew you didn't cast down nets in the afternoon. Why? The fish see him in the water. And he said, "We have toiled all night and we haven't caught anything." And it wasn't, you know, you go out and you put the nets out and you come back and you don't have anything to show for it. You don't just ball up your nets and say, "Well, I'll wait till tonight." No, now the nets have seawater on them. And if you don't clean them, it'll start eating away at the nets. So now, not only did they put all their nets down, didn't catch anything, now they got to clean them. As far as they're concerned, here this joker coming now who knows nothing about fishing and going to tell me, "Launch out and drop down my nets"? I don't think so. You didn't work all night like I did. But we'll appease the old guy. We'll put a net down and say, "See here, we did it." How many times God will tell you to do something and you think he's lost his mind? Because after all, he doesn't know your schedule. You know your schedule. He doesn't know that you just did a 50-hour week at work and you had plans for your weekend. And he's talking about go to this mall and hand out tracts? I don't think so. So what do? You get out of your house, you go to the corner, you hand out two tracts, and you go back inside. I did what you said. All right. I mean, that was the equivalent. They threw down one net. What they didn't understand, and what we have to understand, and the only way we'll understand it if we renew our mind, God knows what he's sending to us. And he knows what it's going to take for us to get all of it. That's why he said to them, "Let down your nets." Because he was sending them a blessing that they would not have room enough to contain it. So he said, "Let down your nets." What does that have to do with us today? He said, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be meat in my house, and prove me now if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it." Well, Simon and his group had to let down their nets. God is saying to us, "Bring all the tithe." The results are supposed to be the same, an abundant harvest. But they only let down one net. And according to the Bible doesn't say, but what Bible scholars say, it wasn't even a new net, it was an old net, and it broke. I think if they could have let down one brand new net reinforced with steel, it would have still broke, because that's not what he said. He said, let down all of your nets. He said to us, bring all of the tithe. They're thinking, we've been toiling all night, and we don't have anything to show for it. Over on this, I was saying, yeah, but I have my mortgage is due. My electric bill is due. My dental bill is due. Lord, it's summertime. I got to get some new clothes. I have a car payment. All these so I know I don't. I'll give an offering. I'll give a net. No, he said, nets. He said, all. If we've renewed our mind, we won't give it a second thought, because our attitude will be, I only have eyes for you, Lord. So what you say, that's what I'm going to do. So you say, bring all, I'm bringing all. Because my reality isn't what I think is due and I can't handle. My reality is, my Father said he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I won't have room enough to contain it. And I'm sure that not room enough to contain a blessing is more than enough to handle this stuff right over here. So I'm going to bring all. I just got my mind made up. I'm going to bring all. I'm going to base my reality on what my Father has said, what he's done, and what he's promised, period. I don't care what anyone else does. This is what I'm going to do. And you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, anything less than that is leading to our own understanding. And that's why God told us, don't do that. He's pretty smart, you know? I guess that's why he's God. Let me move down, because I got to show you this. Because this is key. Not that the rest of it wasn't, but there's always in the church, there's always been this discussion. Do you thank God for all things, or do you thank God in all things? Really? Well, let's go to Ephesians. We're talking about having a renewed mind. We're talking about the reality of the renewed mind. So there can be a thinking that says, no, you don't thank God for all things. That's just silly. But let's see what a new renewed mind has to say about it. Ephesians 5, verse 20, Message Bible, and I'm going to also read in the Phillips Bible. Paul, now how many of you think Paul, you know, he would hear from God? Would you say that? He said to the church at Ephesus, thank God at all times for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Phillips translation says, sing praises over everything, any excuse for a song to God the Father, in the name of our Master Jesus. Say, why should I thank God for all things? He said he would work all things together for your good. So no matter whatever comes, it's an all things ingredient. So you can give thanks. It's part of, how you going to, you know, want an apple pie and don't be thankful for apples? God said, I will work all things together for your good, because you love God and you are the called according to his purpose. So he's going to work all things together for your good. So guess what's going to have to come? All things. And when they come, you be thankful. Thank you, Lord. You working this thing together for my good. Because you promised me. I'm not going to fret about this. I'm taking this excuse or I'm using this as an excuse to give you praise. But he said some other things. Look at 1 Thessalonians. We're going to cover both of them. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So giving thanks is God's will for us. And he didn't say, some things are going to come along and you don't have to give me thanks. No, see, you give thanks because you know the person is going to do what they said. And you're acting like you already have it. And because you know you already have it, you can give him thanks for it. But I saw something in that scripture. You want to see it? Well, actually, it's in James where I saw it. Go to James. James 1. Because he said, count it all joy. We already figured out all means everything, right? So no matter what comes, we got to count it joy. But he gets specific. Count it. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. Look into this. He's talking being specific. When you fall into diverse temptations. He's saying when stuff comes, you count it all joy. You're like, what, God, are you crazy? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. See, if you don't know this, you're not going to be able to count it all joy. That's why we have to see these things from the reality of the renewed mind, because the renewed mind knows this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her work. Let patience do what it's designed to do. Tolerate patience, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Folks, that means circumstances are going to come, but at the end, you wind up perfect. You wind up whole. You wind up not having a desire or a want. You need to think about that. So when circumstances get happy, thank you for coming. I'm so glad you came. Because this means when by the time you're out of here, I'm going to have everything I could ever want. Why? Because my Father said so. Now, I'm going to close with this because we're over time. There's several more. We'll have to get to it on Wednesday. But I really want you to see this, to understand this. And again, I was watching a movie. Dolores has accused me of always bringing in the movie to illustrate a point, and she's absolutely right. I don't know why God does it, but he does. I'm not thinking about it. He just pops it in. But I was watching this movie. It was about a plane hijacking. And the hero on the jet, you know, they captured the main hijacker, but all the hostages were still in the plane. And so they were figuring they wanted this guy to think that it was his idea, but they were really leading him into a certain direction. And the hero was just mad. And so he started roughing up the bad guy. And he grabbed him by the throat, slammed him into the wall, and he said, I want to rip your heart out. And the villain, in a calm voice, looked at him and said, that's the voice of emotion without the benefit of intellect. Why'd I tell you that? Because I like the principle. Or I should say God liked the principle. There are choices that you're going to have to make. There are circumstances that are going to come, and they're going to demand that you speak. And you never want to find yourself speaking or making choices based on emotion without the benefit of a renewed mind. No matter what comes, folks, no matter how it comes, you have to remember who you are. You have to have your mind made up. You have to be thinking, I'm only going with what God has said, what God has done, and what God has promised. And I don't care about anything else because I got my mind made up. I only have eyes for Him. Father, we thank You. We give You all glory, honor, and praise.